The scripture comes from Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9. While he was in Bethany reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth. Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her."
I want to share with you this morning another message on the subject of the shadow of the cross. And I'd like to call our attention back to that passage of scripture found in Mark chapter 14 and beginning at verse 3. There we read of a woman who is unnamed here in this passage of scripture. However, we know her as Mary of Bethany. If you're familiar with the other gospel accounts, for example, in the Gospel of John chapter 11 and verse 2. It says, "This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. This was Mary of Bethany, of whom Jesus said in tribute, 'She did what she could.'" So this Mary is the Mary we know as the sister of Martha and Lazarus. Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead. Now this was a family that Jesus was especially close to. They were in Bethany. They lived in Bethany, which was near the city of Jerusalem. And so it appears that whenever Jesus went to Jerusalem, he stayed in the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Well, I want us to focus this morning on her worship. The subject is in the shadow of the cross. Because, as we read in the scripture passage, did not Jesus say that she had anointed his body for the burial? So he spoke of his death here. And I think that Mary understood, maybe more than his disciples understood, that this was his purpose in coming. If you could turn this one down just a little bit, sweetheart. This was her purpose in coming, or his purpose rather, in coming, to die on the cross, to suffer. And so she came to anoint his body for the burial. Well, what about that anointing? What about that anointing? Well, I think that it is like our worship. In fact, it is worship. Mary was worshiping the Lord as she poured the perfume on him, and as she lovingly worshiped him in this beautiful act. So I want us to learn. I want us to learn what we can about the subject of worship. Worship. That's what we're here for, isn't it? I hope so. A fellowship, certainly. And I think worship is not just being quiet and having a holy expression on our face, whatever that may mean. But it's loving Jesus. It's showing that love in expressive ways. That's what worship is. I think that we, most of us who have grown up in churches, have been taught that the time for worship is a time to be quiet, a time to be reverent. Certainly, we would agree, reverent, but not necessarily quiet. And certainly our worship ought to be expressive, as was Mary's. It ought to express the love that we have for Jesus. So here we see an expressive worship. Mary was what some would call a fanatic. Praise God for that. She was the one, you may recall, who was sitting at Jesus' feet when her sister Martha was busy about the kitchen, rattling pots and pans, trying to get her sister to come and help her. But Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. You'll recall that. And do you remember what Jesus said? When Martha came complaining that her sister had left her to do all the work. Have you ever felt like that? How many have brothers or sisters? Well, you probably understand that perfectly, because you probably, either you were a Martha or you were like Mary. I don't think there are many Marys, but there are many Marthas. And we need both, don't we? I mean, Mary needed to learn that work is necessary. I'm not sure that Mary was lazy. I don't think she was. I think she just knew what was more important in life. She knew that she would only have Jesus with her for a short time. And so she wanted to make the most of the time that she spent with Jesus. I'm sure people have said to you, "Why do you go to church on Sunday morning? Why do you waste your time? Why don't you do something profitable? Or why don't you just do something? Like this is, you know, a waste of time." Well, Mary, I think, I know from what the Lord said, she had chosen what was more important, didn't she? She chose what was more important. It was an expressive worship, because it was First of all, it was public. Do you think that Mary had in mind that others were present there? Well, certainly she did. Do you think that maybe in the back of her mind she may have thought, well, this is going to be embarrassing, that this is going to be, or I'm just going to do this because it'll make me feel good, or because I know I should, out of a sense of duty? No, I think she did it because she loved Jesus so much she didn't care what others thought about her waste. And you know that this was considered waste by even his disciples. It says some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. Now, who do you suppose might have been the spokesman for that group? Well, I think Judas. Peter loved the Lord. I don't really think it was Peter. I think it was Judas. And maybe, Matthew was a tax collector. I don't know. I'm not suggesting it was any particular disciples. But you know how criticism can kind of gain strength, like a snowball rolling down a hill. I noticed we had is there still a snow boulder out in the front yard? I was going to tell the kids that rolled down from the water tower hill there. I don't think so. I think somebody came and maybe made a snowman, and that's all that's left of him. But you know how things can gather momentum as they go along. And things can sound very spiritual to criticize those like Mary, who seem to have nothing better in the world to do than to waste money, waste their life on Jesus. Praise God for the Marys. We have a number of them here in our church who love Jesus so much they don't care what others may think. I don't think she even thought about what others might think of what she was doing. She just focused on Jesus. We have a little song that we sing sometimes called It's You. And I think people are understanding that more and more. I think because we're in that time where I believe Jesus is coming soon. And people are focusing more on Him. More worship. There's more worship today, I believe. And I'm not just talking about loud music or, you know, that can be very artificial, as sometimes soft music can. It's not the music. It's the worship. Do we worship Jesus? Do we love Him so much that we don't care what others think? Like Mary, we come to Him and express our worship publicly. But it was also personal. That expressive worship was personal. It came from her heart. Something a woman would do. Expressive. It was not only public, it was personal. It came from her heart. Something a woman would do, we would say. Take a jar of perfume and pour it on Jesus. Now, you might not care that much about perfume. Most men's idea of perfume is Old Spice or black leather or just a little gasoline to wash away the filth. Well, we're all different, aren't we? Now, for Mary, that perfume represented her love for the Lord. It was personal. I think about some others in the Bible. John, for example, leaned on Jesus' breast at the Lord's Supper. He was like a little brother, I think, to Jesus. But he loved Jesus so much. He just kind of leaned over on Him, like a little brother would do to a big brother. Well, that showed his love for the Lord. I think about Peter. Peter was the kind of the leader of the pack, and everybody looked to him as the leader. Well, I think of many instances in Peter's life where he demonstrated a love for the Lord. When Jesus came walking to them on the water, Peter said, "Lord, tell me, if it is really you, tell me to come out and walk to you on the water." Well, I don't think he thought about what others would think. I don't think he even thought about how others would probably think he was crazy for doing that. It was by faith. And he loved Jesus so much, his focus was only on Jesus. I think if we will get our eyes off ourselves and our own problems, I know we have problems, each one of us. And some more than others. Some more pressing and more preoccupying to us. But if we will just focus on Jesus and not worry about what others think, then he will lead us to do as Mary did here, to worship Him publicly and personally, and each according to our own personality. Paul said, "I want to know Him and the fellowship of His sufferings." And his whole life was like a sacrifice of praise to His Lord Jesus. I think of our military men and women too, who have given their lives, many of them, for our country. And some who have come back with shattered lives. But they did so with a love for our country. And they weren't looking for congratulations. Sadly, they haven't received the applause that they should. But I think that that's a lot like Mary, in a deeper sense even, because her love was for her Lord above all else. And she wasn't afraid or ashamed of what others would think. It was public, her worship was. It was personal. But it was also perfume. Well, maybe you don't wear perfume. Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't think you need underarm deodorant. Well, if you don't, if you think that way, then probably somebody will tell you otherwise. I hope so, for our sake. But we ought to offer up our sweet perfume of praise to the Lord. Here's what the Scripture says about that. In 2 Corinthians 2:15, it says, "We are unto God. We are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing." And in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, it says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name." Do you see what it's saying there? Continually. Offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. That's what Mary did here. Now, I don't think that she did it with any knowledge or even caring whether we would mention her today. I've known some women like this, men too, but I think women can uniquely identify with Mary, who have served Him without wanting to be, you know, up there on a pedestal or being a great person, a great leader, have her name up in lights there. But we can learn so much about Mary's expressive worship. If we will just worship the Lord and not care what others think, it'll be appropriate. But it was not only expressive, it was expensive. It was expensive in its purity. The Greek word here, translates perfume, or spikenard, I believe, in the King James Version, is actually two words, a compound of two words. It means pure. And pure nard is actually what that means. I think the King James Version translates it that way. Spikenard came from the Himalayas in India, from the pure, pristine heights. And you know those are the highest mountains on earth. So it speaks, I believe, of purity in our worship. Mary offered pure worship. There was nothing indiscreet or unseemly about this. It was a beautiful thing. In fact, Jesus said, "She has done a beautiful thing for me." She was pure. Expressing in that offering that she gave to the Lord, that pure spikenard. It was precious. Mary's gift was worth 300 denarii, or over a year's wages. So this was not toilet water or whatever. You know, it's a cheap perfume. The Savior was worthy of nothing but the best. And so Mary offered the best that she had. Now, maybe our best isn't as much as Mary's best, but I think it probably is. I don't think Mary was wealthy by our standards today. But the point is that she gave her best to Jesus. So there was preciousness in that expensive gift. It was also expensive in its pouring. "Broken and poured out" sums out her irrevocable commitment of love to Jesus. Mary is as rare and precious as the gift she gave. I would that that were not true. I would that there were more Marys. Not that we need fewer Marthas. We need both. Martha, her sister, seemed to be more the practical one, more the one that, well, let's get it done. And Mary seemed to be more the type of, take life as it comes, just choose what is most important in life. But I think Martha needed to learn that from Mary. I think most of us are like Martha. And that's why we need to learn from this expressiveness of Mary. I think Martha probably would have been embarrassed, frankly, to do what Mary did. I've had some, I think I've shared in my family, my mother used to embarrass me when I was just a kid, you know, 8 or 9 years old. I was embarrassed to go to town with her, and town was only a block away, kind of like here. But I don't think that, and I think Martha was probably, felt that way about Mary sometime. Oh, you know, I wish I didn't have this sister. She embarrasses me so much. And I think that we're a lot more like Martha, most of us, than like Mary. Because Marys are rare. So there's an expressive worship here, an expensive worship, but also an exclusive worship. Jesus said, "She has worked a good work on me." Or this translation says, "She has done a beautiful thing. She has done a beautiful thing to me." Mary would not share that worship with another Lord. So far as we know, she never did this to anyone else. I know there are probably a lot of things we don't know about Mary. But I can say that with total confidence, that her gift was an exclusive gift. It was exclusive in its purpose. That love offering cannot be shared with another. It was kept exclusively, because that's what it says here, does it not? "She hath kept this for me." Apparently Mary had saved this. Some think perhaps for actually maybe her wedding day or for her dowry. But she knew that this was the reason, and so she shared it. And the fact that it was broken and poured out meant that it couldn't be shared with another. Does that not speak of the exclusiveness, our love for the Lord should require of us? We should not share it with another. I think that means that we not only do we give the Lord first place in our life, But doesn't the first commandment say, you shall have no other gods before me? Do we have other gods before him? Are we spending a lot of time on things? I think even like Martha, I think she'd had another god. And that other god was maybe work. And being pridefully self-sufficient. It's good to be self-sufficient. But I think there was pride there. But with Mary, she kept it for the Lord, this gift. It was exclusive in its purpose. It was exclusive in its person. Many young women have put articles such as this in a hope chest in anticipation of finding that special man with whom they will share their life. I'm told. I don't know. I don't know whether that's still true. But I remember when I was a boy, people used to talk about hope chests. I never had one. Of course, I wasn't. I mean, I had chests that were full of stuff. But you understand the custom that there was. And she gave this, her most precious possession, to the Lord and poured it out on him. So there was a purpose in that exclusive worship. There was a purpose. There was a profusion. John's gospel said that the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. I think all four of the gospel writers record this, I believe. Maybe not. But I know John does. I believe Luke does. Well, Mary of Bethany was one of the earlier, the one who earlier, that is, sat at Jesus' feet while her sister Martha was more busy about practical matters. And I wonder, sometimes, do we get more fixed upon what we are doing, what we want to accomplish, than upon why we are here? Mary knew what was more important. And Jesus said of her, only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. And may we learn from Mary's example how to live and worship in the shadow of the cross. She knew that cross was coming from what the Lord had been sharing with her and the disciples. It wasn't just the disciples. I think Mary understood. And Jesus knew that this was the reason for her offering, to anoint his body for the burial. We need to lift up the cross of Jesus, don't we, in our worship? We need to lift him up. We need to worship him. We need to make him first in our lives, like Mary did. Would you bow with me in a moment of prayer? Our Father, we do thank you for the example of Mary of Bethany. And as we think of the cross, as we think of why Jesus came, I'm sure that Mary understood something, maybe more than the disciples understood. She was a disciple herself, although she was not one of the 12. But I don't know that there's anyone in the Bible who loved Jesus more than Mary. And she expressed it in her gift that she gave. Her gift that was not just the gift. To her, that gift really meant nothing as far as its value to her. Rather, it was an expressive of her life that she wanted to give entirely to this one who had come to be her Savior, who was about to take that journey to the cross, who was already on that journey to the cross, but was about to take the last faithful steps that led him up Golgotha's hill to die on that rugged cross for her sins.